at least for a while. Beautiful Mother's Day. The talking language was supposed to have rain and all coming up, but the Lord knows what we need, so praise the Lord for that. And but we're glad that you're here, and we're glad for all the mothers that are here visiting with us today. And we just pray that you'll have a good day of worship with us. Let's turn in our red hymn books to hymn number 232, When I See the Blood. And we'll sing the first, second, and last verses as we stand and sing. Sad. We were talking to someone recently, and I forget even where they live, but they said that down in their area, it's a very blanketed statement, but still it makes you understand where people are. They said, it seems like everyone down here has cancer. And you know that's not true. That's too much of a generalized statement, but you do hear more of it more and more, so we just need to hold people before the Lord, don't we? And pray for them. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Bill, will you pray for us this morning, please?
Father, we're thankful for this special day that we come to your house today. We thank you for your people. We thank you for each mother that's here today. Father, we thank you for all the mothers that have gone on. It's been so special to us, Father. It's our mothers, Father, that have taught us what we know, Father. Taught us what we know about Jesus, Father. I'm thankful for them, Father. I pray that you'll bless them today. As the services today and the day is kind of dedicated to them, and Lord, I pray that you bless them, bless the families that are here today, dear Lord, bless each individual heart, Father, and I pray that you bless the preacher today, dear Lord, and all the special singers, Father, and thank you for what you do for us, and bless them.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to let you be seated. Be sure and pray for the choir, please.
Choir in your church hymnals, number 246. 246, My Mother's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Sunday was a baseball player and played for the White Sox back in the day, and he listened as the Salvation Army sang a song similar to the ones that the choir sang today about hearing his mother's prayers, and that convicted him of his need for Jesus Christ, and Billy Sunday got saved. Never forget the impact of a mother. A mother is very, very important and powerful. And God has used many, many a mother. Someone said that the country is ruled by the rocking chair of a mother. And there's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? Let's take our red book and turn to hymn number 257 for our fellowship time. And we're so glad to see and have visitors with us today. And I want everybody to make sure that you greet our visitors. Do such a good job that their hand about fall off, okay? All right. Okay, 257, first, second, fellowship, come back on the last.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, how I trust it, how I pray, devoted.
right, last verse.
I'm so glad I learned to trust in precious things we're seeing. And I know the dark is will be through me. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I pray to grow and grow. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus,
be seated. Where is Caleb? Understandable with mothers and things like that, but I appreciate you being here today and this beautiful Mother's Day, and good to have many mothers with us in the service today. Good to see Miss Irma back. Isn't it good to see Miss Irma back?
Amen.
Say amen. We miss her. And Miss Jackie, good to see her. And Miss Janice, good to appreciate her being here. And my memory's terrible because these ladies told me their names, but, you know, thank you for being here, and we appreciate it. And everybody else, appreciate you being here today on this beautiful Mother's Day. All right, well, we need to take care of some business, I think. We've got some beautiful flowers over here. And we're going to recognize some mothers today, okay? And let's see. We're going to do the... Boy, I don't like this one. You don't ask ladies their age. And when Sister Parsons was here, we didn't have this problem. And now it's like, oh, okay. Oh, goodness. Where do we start here? Let's start with 80, 79, 78. You're not going to admit nothing, are you? 70. I think she barely nodded her head on that one. Okay. All right. Oh, no, she's not at all. But if we can get a halfway confirmation, I can give you a flower.
Yes, she is.
All right. All right. Brother Juice, will you help me, please? I know. Preacher might go crazy today. All right, let's see. Let's do mother with the most children. Most children. Five and up. Anybody want to claim that one? No, you don't. All right, anybody got five? Four? You got four? Anybody beat four? All right, you gonna get one of those, sister? And do you want it? You want it now? Okay. Burger King, have it your way. All right, let's see. Mother with the most children present. Is that going to be Miss Donna? Miss Donna got that? How many? You got three children? Well, one of them don't officially count. He's been grafted in, so. All right, Miss Donna, you're going to get a flower. And then let's see, what do we got? The youngest mother. I think that one's a given, isn't it? All right, that's going to be Miss Pam. Got the Miss Pam. Unless anybody knows different than I do. Okay, all right, Miss Pam's going to get a flower. Okay, now, let's see here. If you are a mother, would you stand up, please? You have not, let's say you have not been recognized. You did not get a flower. Raise your, stand up for me. Mother, stand up. You didn't get a flower. All right, one, two, three, four. Aren't you a mother? You back there talking. Hey, you back there talking too much. Quit talking so much. All right, anybody else did not get recognized? All right, one, two, three, four, five. Okay. All right. Just a little something for the mothers. It's a bookmark, and hope you'll be able to use it. It's beautiful. Get one for Miss Janice over here, too. She sat down prematurely. Okay. All right. Did we miss anybody? Miss any mamas? We do not want to miss mamas today. That is not a good thing. All right. And... you get something, don't you?
Thank you, preacher.
Now, miss anybody? Okay. All right. You know what Shakespeare said, hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. So we are not going that way, are we? All right. Okay, let's ask Miss Teresa to sing for us today. It'll be a blessing for us.
When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. And now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there. In answer to her prayer, this message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joy with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Though I was often wayward, she was always kind and good. So patient, gentle, loving, when my ways were rough and rude. My childhood grief and trials, she would gladly with me share. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there. In answer to her prayer, this message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. One day a message came to me, it bade me quickly come. If I would see my mother ere the Savior took her home, I promised her before she died for heaven to prepare. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there. In answer to her prayer, this message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there.
Song that Billy Sunday heard the Salvation Army sing and convicted him and brought him to a knowledge of Christ. So the power of Christian music and the impact of a godly mother is a great thing. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis and chapter 16. I'm going to try to speak for a few minutes on the subject, Mother of the Year. That is a facetious statement, as we will see in the context of our reading today. Now, I've been talking about the last three Sundays, the life of Abraham or Abram and Sarai and them leaving Ur of the Chaldees. And it's only, I think, proper to talk about Sarai. I say Sarai because that's what her name is at this time. And the word Sarai means contentious. You will find that in this particular story, that's exactly what she is. And there has been a promise given. The promise given is that there's going to be a child born. Sarai is 65 years of age. We can say safely that according to the biological clock, it's past her childbearing years. But God's given a promise, and when God gives a promise, He keeps His promises, folks. Never forget. Now, those promises can be positive, and those promises can be negative. But whatever it is, He keeps His promises. We must never forget that. And in chapter 16, if you will bear with me, I'd like to read all 16 verses. So would you bear with me, please, as we read the scriptures today. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto thy maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptians, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. That's very important to understand in the story. And we can talk about that in just a moment, but understand that statement's very pivotal. And Sarai, verse 5, said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi, behold, is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Let's pray one more time, please. Father, speak to our hearts and help us and teach us the scriptures. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I say, and I use the term facetiously, Mother of the Year, because here is Sarai. I remember her name, contentious. And in verse 3, there's a time element. When the promise was given to Abram and Sarai to have a child, as I said a moment ago, 65 years old. But notice that now, after he had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, add 10 years to that, she's now 75. Also notice that she is impatient. Well, you know what? I would be too. I'm not going to be super hard on Sarai, but Sarai has waited 10 years. And maybe she is trying to reinterpret what God told her husband Abram. Because if she's 75 now, he's 85. Okay? So now she wants to do what many people do, and that is they want to take things in their own hands. Can I say to you today, the worst thing you'll ever do is take things in your own hands. If you're waiting on God, you better keep waiting. Because understand that God's timetable is not like yours and mine. We get very impatient. I look and I think, Sarai, in a way, I guess you've been very patient because you're 75 now. But there's still a time element before this thing is going to take place. But she's taken this thing into her own hands and she says, Well, we have a handmaid. And so, Abram, let's do this. I'm going to bring my handmaid to you.
She will come in unto you in the tent, and we will see if there will be a conception of a child. And sure enough, that's what happened. Now, one little problem. Picture this in your mind, if you will. She comes out one day and she says, I am with child. She is expecting. And then the day comes where that child is born. Now get this in your mind. Here Hagar brings this child out. And when she brings the child out, she looks automatically to Sarai. The Bible says that she was despised in her eyes. Something like this. Holding the child, looking at the child, smiling, looking at Abram, and then looking at Sarai as if to say, I did it, you did it. Now, women have an untold language. Now, you can say what you want to, and ladies, you get mad at me if you want to, but I'm telling you something. I don't know what it is. Some ladies enjoy drama. Some of y'all work in a drama-filled environment. That's being nice. And somebody's got to run somebody down, talk about somebody, stab somebody in the back. I mean, it's amazing. And I've never understood why that happens, but it does. But here's some drama. Because the minute she looks at Sarai and gives her the look, it's on. Because now Sarai said, whoops, I made a mistake. Now, whether or not her mistake was that she did not wait on God, I sort of doubt. But I think the problem may be that she just realized we're playing cat and cat here. And I am not going to have a handmaid or a servant look down upon me with disrespect. Now, when you start something and it starts snowballing, guess what? It's going to keep on snowballing till something hits, and it'll hit with a thud. And she started it. She started it. Sarai, Miss Contentious, she started it. It cannot be denied. And she knows it now. And when she realizes, it's like, oh my goodness, what have I done? So it's time to show who is the boss. Now, if you have doubts that Sarai is the boss, let's look. When she gets all upset, verse 5, Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Now hold it. She's the one that authorized this whole thing. But now she's about time to start the drama. So she says, guess whose fault this is? It's yours, big boy. Now what? Now he's going to be the typical male. Look at his answer. She said, well, let's go back. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abraham said unto Sarai, boy, look, this fella has got some backbone, doesn't he? Behold, thy maid. Do you say that about your children sometimes when they get in trouble? Your child. Do they? Huh? Yeah, don't get quiet on me now. I ain't crawling out on this limb by myself. Thy maid is in thy hand, he says. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. That's not real smart. Because she's going to do it. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her. Now whatever she did is not disclosed. But whatever it was, it made her flee from her face. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Let me show you just quickly this morning some things about the mother of the year and some of the things that went on. First of all, quickly, we see Hagar as a type of a sinner. She flees, she goes to the desert place. The word Hagar literally means, we talked about Sarai. Sarai means contentious. Abram means exalted father. Hagar means fugitive. And she is literally a fugitive because she has fled from the presence of her master and her mistress. She did not have to do that. But the persecution on the part of Sarai was so great that she fled to the desert. But it says that this fugitive was found in the wilderness by an angel of the Lord. Can I say this, if it helps at all, that no matter how dark your valley and how deep your pit, there is a God in heaven who is watching you. You are not lost. He knows where you are. That's not my problem. My problem is not, does God know where I am? Do I know where I am? Do I know that I'm in a pit? Do I know that I am in a dark place? That I'm in a desert place? Do I know that? Found her. Secondly, where did he find her? By a fountain of water. Isn't that interesting that she's in the desert, but in the desert God provides a fountain of water? In your desert of a life, there was a fountain of water. You know what that fountain of water is? It's right there in your hands. It's called the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It is also called the water, the living water that is given for us. And a lost person, we are saying that Hagar is a representation of a lost sinner. And that lost sinner is not really lost, because God has His eye on, the Bible says, even the sparrow that falls. She is a fugitive, but she finds water. Where does she find it? She finds it in the wilderness. And did you notice where she came from? The Bible tells us that in verse number 1, she was an Egyptian, and Egypt is a type of the world. God loves sinners. People accuse Christians of hating sinners. Christians should never hate sinners, but we should hate sin. Big difference. I do not approve of sin, and you should not approve of sin. But I would say to you this, that you and I have been saved by the grace of God, and we love all people, and we want all people to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. The world looks at us, unfortunately, and condemns us as being self-righteous. Someone, D.L. Moody, said that sinners are simply beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. And that's really the truth of it. I'm no better than anybody else. The only difference between a lost sinner and me is that I've been saved by the grace of God. That's the only difference. And I want them to get saved too, and you should also. We should try to win people to Christ, shouldn't we? That's in the Bible. So she is a type of a sinner. She is in the midst of her brokenness, and these things have brought her to a place where she is receptive to the God of heaven. Now, I believe this, that tragedy is one of the greatest things that can bring a person to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Heaven forbid it happen, but people get terrible news when they go to the doctor. I have cancer. And brother Julie over here. And Miss Teresa, others are involved in the American Cancer Society, and I told my wife, I said, I guess I feel cheated. I need to probably go do something for the Diabetes Association. But you know what? We can do what we can do. But it's tragic when you hear these things that happen. But you know something? Those things ought to drive us to God. Sadly, some people are driven away from God. I've read some emails recently of people talking about certain things, not emails, but rather the Facebook notices. And they're talking, I've read some things that blow me away. I've read where people have said in print they hate God. And they use foul language on the internet talking about God. And I'm going, That makes the hair on the back of my head go up when I read things like that. Don't mess with the Almighty. Just because He's quiet does not mean He's inactive. Just because He's quiet doesn't mean He's deaf. He just works on a different time schedule than you and me. Don't let it drive you away from God. Be driven to God. Every incident in our lives should do that. Number two, there's in this story a Savior. Because an angel comes and finds her. I hear people say things like, well, I found Jesus. No, you never really found Him. He found you. I didn't go looking for Him, but He came looking for me. And in verse 8, it talks about how that a question was asked. He said to Hagar, Sarai's maid. Notice that it says Sarai's maid. He does not let her forget her roots and where she came from. God will sometimes use our roots to show us where we came from, to show us where we need to go. God approached her and asked a question, made a statement, said, whence comest thou and whither wilt thou go? There are plenty of people that do not know where they came from and do not know where they're going. Where are you going? You say, well, I'm going to the store. That's not what I asked you. Where are you going spiritually in your life? Are you going to heaven? Are you ready to meet God? Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? What about your daily walk with God? If you're a Christian, how's your walk with God? Whence camest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. She's had to come to a dependence. She needs to come to the place that she needs to lean on dependence upon one who will save her. And God is ready to save her. Then there's a revelation that takes place because He makes a statement. We'll come back to it in just a minute. But where is she found? She's found in a well, which is a type of the Word of God, and only the Word of God will reveal the Spirit of God that shows us our needs for a Savior. There is a Savior. Then notice quickly, thirdly, there is a submission. What does this angel say? In verse 9, he makes a hard statement. He said in verse 9, return to thy mistress. And I bet you she'd be willing to say something like this and say, you know what? I ain't a-going nowhere. I'd rather stay here in this desert place and die than have to go and humble myself before that woman. You ever heard that phrase used, that woman? Sometimes husbands use that phrase, don't they? That woman. You know? And she's just determined. Oh, no. She's listening because you know when you get to the bottom of something, it'll sure open your eyes sometimes. And sometimes the very things that seem so difficult in our lives are not as bad as we think they are. Some of the things that you're going through right now, if you compare it to other things that happened to other people, it's like, well, maybe I'm not so bad off after all. She says, you go back. The angel said, you go back and you submit yourself. You return. And verse 9, and submit yourself under her hand. You know what that's called? It's called restitution. He says, if you will be obedient, go back, do what you're supposed to do, I'll take care of the rest. If there are people that you can't get along with, that you don't work, you better pray first and pray, God, I need to go see so-and-so, I need to make restitution, but Lord, you're going to have to open their heart and make their heart receptive when I come to see them, and you'll be surprised what God will do before you get there. Amen. How do you know that, preacher? I've done it. There have been people, not a lot of people, but there's some people in my life I've had ought against. That's what the Bible calls it. And God has convicted me and said, you know what you got to do? You got to go to them and make things right. And I prayed about it and I said, now Lord, you need to get their hearts ready because this is hard enough. It's hard enough on my pride to have to go and apologize when in reality maybe I hadn't done anything to begin with. But I can honestly say that when I've gone with that attitude in prayer, I've seen God work in that other person and get them ready and reconciliation be made. You say, well, I don't believe that. Yeah, you don't. Then you don't believe in a very powerful God. Because God can work in your heart. If God can work in your heart, God can work in somebody else's heart. And so you go back, she said, and you make things right with Sarai. Was there a promise kept? There was a promise kept because there was a young man by the name of Ishmael. And Ishmael, you know what Ishmael's name means? Ishmael's name means God hears. God hears. Now the only problem with that the great nation that came forth from Ishmael became a great nation as much as Israel did, but the descendants of Ishmael have to this day been enemies of Israel. The Arab forces that dwell have come from the loins of Ishmael. God kept a promise, no matter how a human being tried to distort it. And that's what Sarai did, distorted the promise of God. Last thing, not only is there a sinner and a savior and a submission, but then there's a surrender. God saw her. And you know what's important? It's not important. Understand something. It's not important that you see God. What's important is that God sees you. Because notice what it says. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that called, that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. I need that. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? They didn't even recognize Jesus on the water. Remember that? But then they heard the voice of Jesus. The Bible says he began to sing. He said, first of all, Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to walk on the water to thee. Notice the statement, if it be thou. They didn't recognize him in the midst of the storm. And then he said, come. And he did. But he didn't stay too long, did he? Because he got to looking at all the circumstances around him and he began to sink. He did not sink, but he began to sink. Very important. Jesus picked him up, put him in the boat. It is not important that he saw Jesus. What was important was that Jesus walked on the water and saw him. Understand, you may not know where he is, but he still has his eye on you. And that can take you through a lot of difficult times in your life if you understand that. God seeing us should not always be disturbing. It should be comforting because we know that God loves us. In Hagar's life, this is exactly what she needed because she had to be humbled. She had to surrender her will because that's why she took and looked at her mistress like she did, because she was in absolute rebellion against those who had authority over her. But oh, God can take examples and break us and help us to come in a spirit of surrender and say, Dear Lord, forgive me and help me to live and walk and talk and do what's right. Now look at verses 15 and 16 and we're done. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. That means he was 86 years old. And I don't have time to get into it, but if you move into the 17th chapter in verse 1, you will see a time span of 13 years more that passed. You know what God's going to do? God says, I'm putting you all in a situation that when it's all said and done, nobody but me, God Almighty, will get glory for this thing. Because when you have a child and you're a man of 99 years of age, and things begin to change in your life and you've got a wife who is 89 years of age. Wow. And there's going to be a child born? Yep. Why? Because God said so. Somebody said, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, it doesn't. God said it, whether or not you believe it's irrelevant. God said it, that's all that matters. Will you accept that by faith? Will you accept and do what God, and say, now I'm not going to do, I'm going to do everything my way, God. I'm going to do this way. But all you're going to do is get yourself in a desert place like Hagar did. The desert place isn't bad if the angel of the Lord, if God Almighty is with you there, but make sure He's there. Don't go in the desert place by yourself. It's misery. But go where God is. I call this title of this message Mother of the Year because unfortunately Sarai started a chain of events that hurt a lot of people. But you know what the lesson I learned when I read that last few verses of that chapter? God can take a mess and God can straighten it out. Aren't you glad of that? How does he straighten it out? What did Hagar do? She repented. That's the whole... Now, if she hadn't repented, you know what? She might have died in that desert place. She repented, trusted in God, and God did bless her and gave her a son that brought forth a multitude of people that made up to this day one of the greatest and most powerful nations that's ever dwelt upon this planet. But hold it. Isaac ain't here yet. Let me ask you a question today. How is it with you? Are you in a desert place? Have you been saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? God may bring you to that desert place so that you'll wake up and see your need for the Lord. You're a Christian. Maybe you're in a desert place. Maybe you've made some bad decisions like Miss Sarai has. And it's affected. Did you notice that her decision affected other people's lives? Did you see that? Did you know that if you walk outside the will of God, you may affect people in a wrong way? Remember that wonderful old movie, It's a Wonderful Life? We saw at the end of the movie how Jimmy Stewart made such an impact on people's lives for the better. What if we make impact on people's lives for the bad? I don't want that. I don't want that on my tombstone. I don't want people to walk by my coffin and say, boy, he was a sorry individual if there ever was one. I don't want that. We preach our own funerals, don't we? Here's a woman that just said, I got to make a change. I say Mother of the Year because it's sarcastic. She was far from Mother of the Year, Miss Sarai was. But we're going to see her name changed in a few chapters, and her name will be changed to Sarah. And do you know what Sarah means? Sarah means princess. She made a right decision. It took a while, but she made a right decision. And you know what? God help us to make right decisions. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I just want to ask a couple of questions. Is there someone today that maybe you are not sure if you died today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven? Maybe you're not sure that you've made the decision necessary. You've not received Jesus as your personal Savior. You can say today, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I passed away today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I've got that relationship right with the Lord. And I'd like for you to pray for me. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'd just like to pray for you if you'd let me. Anybody like that? Anyone at all? God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. Anyone else? Maybe you're here today and you are a Christian, but maybe there's been some poor decisions made in your life. And maybe you feel like you're in the middle of the desert and you need God to come get you. He'll bring you out. But you got to acknowledge it. Anybody like that? Pray for me. I've made some decisions. They've not been the best ones. I'm kind of in a desert place, but I'm tired of going on my own way, and I want the Lord to help me. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. I'm going to pray in just a moment. If we can help you, if you'd like for us to take a Bible and show you from God's Word how to get the help you need, I hope you'll let us do that. I'll stand at the front, and you can come, and we'll talk. And if not, please come see me, because spiritual things need immediate attention. Heavenly Father, bring honor to the name of Jesus.
and be with these different requests and give victory in our lives. We ask it in the loving name of Jesus. Amen. Brother?
Number 235, Pass Me Not. Should we all stand?
Spiritual need, and if you'd like to talk to myself, I would be more than happy to avail of my time to talk to you. You let me know, and that's what we're here for. We want to point others to the Lord, so you'll keep that in mind. Brother Julius and Brother will you come at this time and receive our offering today? Now, the offering earlier I did not share with you was for our building fund. Young people have been giving, sharing, and you've been sharing. We thank the Lord for that. This is regular tithes and offerings. And so this, everything that comes in here is for the operation of the budget of the church. Okay? All right. Brother Julius, lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Well, thank you for our lovers today, Lord.
Amen. Received a little note and a check. And it says this: please accept this in memory of Ozzie Taylor Jr. Please send acknowledgement to the Irma Taylor family. And it says, thank you, Mamie Lindsay. So I just wanted to share that with you. And she sent an offering to be a blessing to the church. So I wanted to share that with you. Praise the Lord. No service tonight. I want you to go and spend the day with your moms and adopted moms and grandmas and in-laws and outlaws. All right, have a good day. Now let me share this with you. Next Sunday is the yearly graduation of our Christian school, and the pastor there always wants the graduation on Sunday afternoon, and that's the day that I have to be away from the Sunday night service. Brother Charles Taylor is going to be preaching in my place next Sunday evening. I'll let you know about that. Then the following Sunday, we're going to have one of our missionaries with us. Brother Frank DeBagno is going to be here with us. and he's going to be sharing the work, the ministry in Sunday school, give us an update, slide presentation, whatever, and he's going to preach at the 11 o'clock hour. So he called me this morning. We've had it set for a while, and he called this morning. So that will be the last Sunday. Somebody tell me the date. Is that the 27th? 27th. So that's when he's going to be with us, okay? So keep that in mind. Thank you again for all the visitors being here. God bless you. Come back and see us again. You're a welcome guest, and I hope you have a great day, and God bless you.